the everlasting arms. Oh, I'm leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, yes, we're leaning.
Praise the Lord. Where else would you rather lean than on His arms? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see him in church tonight. Rather play a little bit more of that. Let's sing another verse or two of that. Praise tonight. You love him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're leaning tonight. We're leaning on the everlasting arms. Not the arm of man, but the arms of Almighty God. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. We have a card of thanks tonight from Brother Melvin Lynch. I'll put this on the bulletin board out in the lobby. He said, just want to thank everyone for the flowers, cards, most of all for your prayers during the passing of his mother. I love and appreciate you all very much. Brother Melvin Lynch, well, we appreciate the Lynch family too, don't we? Amen. God bless Brother Melvin and his family tonight. I want to pray for Sister Shirley. She's having a lot of pain in her back and her legs. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Shirley tonight. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says to please pray for Wayne Newberry in Bristol Hospital with two kinds of bacteria. He is a diabetic. Also, he needs salvation. So we certainly want to remember those needs tonight. Brother Krause sends this in to please pray for Brother Larry. He's at the emergency room at the VA hospital. Very sick with a stomach bug. So we just pray for him tonight. Pray for all the our people that's got flu symptoms and bronchitis and all kinds of disease and germs going through the air. Let's just pray for all of them tonight. Sister Susan Olive would like to request prayer for her sister Dorothy Smithy, who lives in Maryville, Tennessee. She is to have surgery this Friday to remove a non-cancerous brain tumor. Even though we are very grateful that cancer is not involved, it is still a very serious surgery with very many risks involved. So we want to commit that to the Lord and ask God to be mindful of that situation. Brother Jose Manley says to please pray for Elizabeth, who is not feeling well, and two fellow co-workers who are dealing with cancer. Thank you and may God bless Brother Jose Manley. So we just commit that to the Lord tonight. Here's an unsigned announcement. Says, I just want to praise the Lord for answering prayer. Well, we could all do that tonight, couldn't we? We could all praise the Lord for that. Brother Bean sends this in to please pray for Kyra Elliott, 16-year-old daughter of a close co-worker who hit a tree in an automobile accident on Monday. She has broken bones and severe head injuries, so we certainly want to commit that need unto the Lord, that God would be mindful unto that teenager. Sister Anna Allen is homesick in body, requesting prayer, so we just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Jeff Jenkins, the church family, and all the relatives of Brother Lonnie that has passed away, and we just know that God's going to be with them and comfort their hearts. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, you believe we're serving a God that can answer your prayers tonight? Do you love Him better than everything in this world? Does He mean the world to you tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Give Him one more big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Brother David, come tonight, praise. Let's join with Brother David tonight as he prays. Bless him about the presence of our Lord into this service. Brother David, we love you, buddy. God bless you.
Amen. Let's bow our hearts to the Lord of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you this evening with all of our hearts, Lord, and we've gathered together now, Lord, to be able just to come to lift your name tonight. We ask, Lord, for every request that's been turned in, may the Holy Spirit minister to these needs. Lord, lots of sickness that's going around, but Lord, we believe that we're your children tonight, Lord, and that Lord, you care for your children. And tonight, Lord, we ask that you'd move upon these needs. We just pray, Father, may you just take, Lord, those that are sick. Lord, those that are home tonight, they're sick, Lord. Maybe it's a cough. Maybe it's the flu. Lord, we just pray, may the healing touch of Almighty God move upon their bodies tonight. May you make them well, we pray, Lord. We stand tonight as your church, Lord, upon the foundation of faith and the Word of God, claiming victory over every sickness tonight. Lord, we ask that you move upon them, Lord. Be with the church there, Lord, in Lima. Lord, during this time, Lord, knowing our brother's cross, Lord, and sharing, Lord, the songs of victory, Lord, there on the other side. But for, Lord, those that remain, we pray, Lord, you are a comforter. May you comfort every heart, Lord. Be in the service tonight, anoint our brother. Touch his body tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless all those folks from around the world that are streaming the service. Let me make this announcement. There's a Christmas card for each and every one of you over in the library from Brother Donnie and Sister Carol and their family. So if you'd go by and pick that up tonight, they have those for you over in the library tonight. So remember that. Let's sing a song tonight. I believe He's in the house, don't you?
Amen.
I believe He's in this house. And I believe He's in this house.
Amen.
Are you glad He's in your house?
Amen. He's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be. Now there just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. Say it, Brother Harry.
She began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, shines in me for all the world to see.
Oh, yes, he's in the house that had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt.
This heart of mine gave me life again. I am just a house of clay.
Oh, sing the song, buddy.
But ever since that blessed
hallelujah
day, there's a light that shines,
yes, there
in
is
me for all this world to see. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little bit of that song tonight. The chorus, I'm amazed that He loves me. Are you amazed that He loves you tonight? I'm so thankful that He chose me. I was nothing. I am nothing. But He chose me. So that makes me somebody. Because He chose me. Are you glad you've been chosen? Are you glad He chose you? Are you glad He handpicked you from before the foundation of the world? He picked you. He chose you. Look at somebody and say, He chose me. I'm amazed that You love me. I'm so amazed that You care.
Your precious blood, I thank
Oh, are you amazed tonight, church? Are you amazed that He loves you? Sing it one more time, Brother Harry.
I'm amazed that you love me.
Oh, let's love Him a little bit tonight, church.
I'm amazed.
We're so amazed.
How you care.
Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. We're going to have a song tonight. Brother Larry's going to give us a song. If you'll get ready at this time, we'll go right on into the service. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Don't you love to come to the house of the Lord? Amen. God bless our singer tonight.
I wanted to give us a small testimony. I was one time praying very hard for someone that was going through a very great affliction. And I've always had a very bad serious arthritis in my back from when I had surgery in my younger years. And it was hard to sit here at the piano without just looking like I was always sad or something. But I was praying for this sister. And then all of a sudden I made a statement to God. I said, Lord, if it's been told that if only one man loved on this earth, you would have died just for that one. And if only one man lived, you would have taken stripes just for that one man. So then I thought, well, Lord, far be it from me for you to have to take those stripes in vain. I want my healing right now. And from that moment on, a warmth came over my body. And I've never had that pain in my back. And I can sit here for 10 hours without any pain. Thank the Lord for that. For years I've traveled a road all wrong. My heart had lost every joy, every song. Then grace, it placed me right where I belong, and mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. My mistakes were turned into miracles. Every tear was turned into joy. My sins, they were forgiven, 'cause my name there always written. And mercy rewrote my life. And mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Yes, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, when mercy rewrote my life.
Still Brother Terry saying, ain't you glad we come to church tonight? I don't know about you, but it feels like out there is getting closer to down there, and in here it's getting closer to up there.
Amen.
Not a whole lot rather be here than out there.
Amen.
I love being in His presence. Help me sing this little chorus.
Surround me, oh Lord, come tonight and surround. Let your presence fill this place. Surround me, oh Lord. We need you, Jesus. Surround me, oh Lord.
Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I'd like to begin reading verse 1. I'd like to have a brief meeting with the Deacon Brothers after service tonight in my office, if you brothers would. From the song we were just singing, you think if there's something in your heart that desires to be in the presence of God. As we are here tonight, as wonderful as it is to sense His presence, yet it's still in such a limited way. Because even though we can sense Him, yet if you're like me, you probably feel Him less than ever. But you sense Him greater, if that makes sense. But what will it be when there will be no longer in the realm of sense or feeling, but it will actually be by sight? Then you realize faith will terminate. Faith is the substance of things hoped for with the evidence of things not seen. So in heaven, we won't need faith. Faith will have completed its journey. Faith will end in sight. Won't that be wonderful? Now, we long for that, don't we? But I want to tell you something. He longs for it greater than we do. Let's read, beginning with verse 1. We'll read down through verses 5. And I want to speak to you tonight on our new home. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Now, no longer an invisible presence, but actually he will be there among us. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. How many believes that? True and faithful. Let's pray together if you would. Lord Jesus, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth from whence our bodies came, we sprang from here, our mother, and we know that we have a mother in another realm as well. This one you used to bring us from her bowels. She gave forth calcium, potash, petroleum, some cosmic lights. But the other one, the mother of our heart, from her comes illumination and light and revelation. So here we are, Father, living in this present world. Every day we face the battles that exist in this world, yet we live from our soul because it's been touched of that other world. And until these battles will end and this world will lose its pull finally on us, we must pray, we must struggle against things, but Lord, we know there's a brighter day coming when we'll move past mortality. We'll move past these things that are so difficult in life and in time, and we'll fade into the eternal. Help us as we look into this tonight, Father. May you speak to us from your great word. In Jesus' name. And the saint said,
amen.
You may be seated. God bless you. The first heaven and the first earth were prepared for our original parents and their descendants. God readied everything for their coming, actually before they arrived. In the stages of his creation and all that he had done, the universe, the earth, matter, time, science, all these dimensions and things that God had made, isn't it amazing that he didn't make the man first before the earth? Why would he make matter before man? Or make time before man, or cosmic light, or calcium, or potash, or petroleum? But he readied everything, And then he set the man in this readied world. You know, God's way is so different, of course, than ours. And when we look and see his character in the way that he does things, it unfolds something to us about him, even though the written word may not say it. The written word doesn't always give us God's character, but we find many times the things hidden about him in the way he does, not just what he says that he does, but in the way that he does. Whenever God was going to bring this earth into a useful position, he must first change it from where it is in the Genesis account of Genesis chapter 2. If you notice Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, it's peculiar that Jesus would use this word, speaking of the changing of the economy and changing of the earth itself, and that he would use the same word that is going to be used in the New Testament for new births. So Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed with me in the regeneration of man." No, this is not regeneration of man, but it's going to be the same word that will be used in regeneration of man. But here he's referring to the regeneration of the earth. So the earth would have to have a new birth. Now look at the meaning of this word. It's so rich and so full. Look what it means. New birth. Recreation, the production of a new life consecrated to God, a radical change of mind for the better. The word often used to denote the restoration of a thing to its pristine state. So here Jesus, before the new birth has actually been experienced by any mortals, he's speaking about the preparation of the earth for the condition of the second Adam and the second Eve. Now remember, God's way was to prepare this place, this Garden of Eden, before he actually brought them into existence to be able to live on it. So it would be unbecoming of God to place man on the earth in its state of Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep." It would have been unbecoming of God to make his man in the state of perfection and set him upon this earth in this chaotic condition. So God makes the earth, brings the earth into a suitable state, brings it into a paradise, then sets the man on the paradise. Now, your Jesus is showing the disciples that before they will actually reign with him in the fullness of their position, that the earth must have a new birth. It must be regenerated. So then the earth must be one of God's attributes, and we know that it is. So in the beginning, when God wanted to make something out of this earth, what did God do? God basically, very simply, God made a garden. God made a garden and a place in order to receive seed. Now, God, of course, knowing that what the earth would become, God made the earth in a gender which would be feminish. This is why the Bible calls the earth her. So it would be unbecoming of God, of course, to sow his seed in a man, because God doesn't do it that way. So God called her, the earth, a her. So God created what? A garden, a place by which it was a woman in earthly form. So what is God doing? Showing something now that he wants to unfold, not only then, but in the future ages which are to come. So when John sees a new heaven and a new earth, then what John sees must tie in with the same thing that Moses saw in Genesis chapter 1. And that is, it must be an unfolding of the same attribute, but it'll be brought from one stage to another to another. Now, once this, Jesus says in this, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. Again, Revelation 21:1. "I saw a new heaven." Look at this word, new. It means recently made. fresh, recent, unused, unworn, which as recently made to superior to what it succeeds. Now, can you imagine now that John, when he's called up by vision, after he sees the death and hell cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death, he sees the judgment, all of that, and then the very next verse is that John sees, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, seeing such transformation on this earth, when John would have looked at it in the vision, it would have appeared as if though it would have been an entire new globe. But John was not saying that it was a new globe, but it was new in that it had never appeared this way before. Now, it was unused. It had been renewed. It had been so changed. And one of the outstanding things to John was, as he mentions in the last part of this verse, was, and I saw no more sea. Now, remember, John had been raised on the sea. So there was something about it that it looked so different that John actually classifies it and calls it new. But it is not new in the sense that this earth, existing earth, was totally demolished and annihilated and a replacement was placed there in the same place in the universe. It was not like that. But it was unused. It was unworn. It was brought to its pristine condition. Now, probably it would even precede, listen carefully now, it would precede the status that we see it in Genesis 1 verse 2. Because in that state, we see the earth after a great cataclysmic change has struck the earth. I hope you come to church tonight to hear. Because for a while, we must walk where dinosaurs have walked. We must walk in the early geological ages of time. So I hope you prayed, because if you didn't, there ain't no telling what you're going to think of me when we get done with this. Now, the earth, when John sees it, it's brought into this attribute. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So they seem to be new because the renovation had been made in such a drastic way upon the earth that John looks at it. Now, you imagine he's standing here on the Isle of Patmos. So he's totally surrounded by the sea. So he moves from this realm by vision, by realm of vision, and he moves into this that he sees a new heaven and a new earth. And the city doesn't stick out first. It's not the golden streets that sticks out first, but one of the things that sticks out is I saw no more sea. Now I'll let you ponder on that. We'll not get into that now. We may pick it up next Wednesday night. But there's a great significance in there being no more sea. Now watch this in Isaiah chapter 65 verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 13. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, whenever we talk about new, keep in mind that you are a new creature in the same old temple. So when Peter refers to it being new, Peter has this in mind, that there will be such a cataclysmic change upon the earth that it will appear new. It will be unused, unworn, but from the soul or the framework of the earth, it will be exactly the same. Now it will be changed. The earth must have a body change on the outside, but it'll only go so deep. Lord, I'm about to shout right now. It only goes so deep. Maybe for hundreds of miles deep, the surface of the earth. Don't you see? Your whole life is written in the way this earth is made and shaped. Now watch, in Revelation 21:1 again, he says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Now what happens whenever a loved one of ours, a mother, a father, aunt, or uncle, somebody dies, and we've come up and coined a term which is more acceptable, not as harsh, abrupt, so on, as death. They died, they're dead. So we say what? We say they passed away. Now, whenever we use that term, you know, for us as Christians, we know that if they're a child of God, that all they've simply done is move from one form into another form. Now, for those who do not believe in God and believe there is a place that the soul goes to, I'm not sure what they think they go to, what happens to them. But when we say that, we know they have passed away. So they have went from this world here that we have known them, touched them, spoke to them, and saw them, and they moved into another world. They are not dead. They are simply removed. So when this earth will pass away, it will not be annihilated. It will pass from one form into another. Amen. Oh, glory. Notice this word now. P-A-R-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Now look at what it means. You realize that Brother Branham used this word in Future Home. Pass over, come forth, an act continuing for a time. Now, in order to really catch a view of what this new place is going to be, I think it would be necessary for us to be able to go back to the beginning, back to the book of Genesis, and really see, because Genesis is the book of beginnings. Genesis is the beginning of heaven. It is the beginning of the heavens. Let me say it that way. The beginning of the heavens. It is the beginning of the earth. It is the beginning of human life. It is the beginning of marine life. It is the beginning of everything that we know in matter. Matter is not eternal. But matter actually had a time when it started, as did time. So then when we go back to the book of Genesis, which is the seed book of the Bible, Brother M calls it, Genesis also enters in spiritually into the very structure of the New Testament. Now, every revelation from God, we know, must tie back to the Word. And actually, in the book of Genesis, Brother Bam told us over and over again, in the book of Genesis, you can see the entire plan of God. You can see serpent seed in the book of Genesis, predestination. You can see a church. You can see a foolish virgin. You can see it all because it is the seed book of the Bible. So in the book of Genesis, it not only contains stories and history, but it is the very essence of all that God will ever do through time. Now, notice this, how that Moses begins this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven, singular, and the earth. Now, there's something very peculiar and strange in the way the Holy Ghost opens up this first book of the Bible. Immediately, he takes us to the great personage of God and the singularity of deity. He does not show us three people. He does not show us a bunch of gods, but he shows us one God. So the Holy Ghost, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the Holy Ghost opens up this book and he makes known to us this sublime person now that this book is going to unveil. Oh, hallelujah. Now, the book of Genesis declares to us three great creative acts, and that is the heavens and the earth, animal life, plant life, of course, and man life, which is the crowning of God's creation. Now, the first creative act refers to, of course, to the dateless past. Now, this is where the geologists and scientists read the Bible without an understanding, and they say, oh, who in the world can believe the earth is 6,000 years old? Well, we can prove it's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years old, and yet they try to come back and many times people that are ignorant, that love God, and yet they are ignorant, they will stand there and try to debate and say, the earth ain't but 6,000 years old. I don't care what you say. No, you're wrong. The earth is probably millions of years old. Hallelujah. But now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But what was before the beginning? So if in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, then what was before the beginning? Or who was before the beginning? And we know, of course, it was the eternal one. Now, this is very hard for us to imagine because, you know, we relate so much to time, to increments of time, in seconds and minutes and hours and days and months and years and weeks and decades and on and on and on. And we relate to things that are consistent of matter, things we can touch, things we can feel, things we can hear, touch and taste and so on. So how can you and I be able to comprehend a being that never started? There's only one way, faith. That's all. You cannot prove it. You cannot prove it scientifically. You cannot prove it by sense, but yet you believe that he is and that he was before time. Now, time is actually a creation of our Father. You believe that? But before there was time, it was the eternal, and in him we know was attributes. Now this, of course, is where science is just laughing at us and make fun of us. But if they want to think I come from a monkey, I'm going to laugh and make fun of them. Now, some of them, as dumb as they are, I might think a second cousin to a baboon might be more fitting to them, but it's not the sons and daughters of God. Now, watch this. In Psalms chapter 90, verse 1, a prayer of Moses, the man of God, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Before there's ever any mountains, before there's ever any sea, before there's ever any matter, any time, any science, he was there. Psalms 102, verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Now think, they are still finding, by the Hubble telescope, they're still finding stars and universes and all these things that are out there that number in the billions. Billions. But David said, Psalms 147, verse 4, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Man can't even count them, and God's got a name for every one of them. Oh, glory to God. I said, man can't even count them. He don't even know how many's there. And five more years from now, they'll say, oh, there's so many more. And my daddy give every one of them a name. And they are personal to him because he made them. Psalm Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span. And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. And weighed the mountains in scales. And the hills in a balance. Verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and behold. Who hath created these things? That brought forth out the host by number. He calleth them all by the names. By the greatness of his might. For he. Now notice that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Now this was what was before time ever began. Now here as Isaiah writes about it and David writes about it and Moses writes about it, they catch him as he's revealing what he's doing in time. But what was before time? It was all in him. Lord, sometimes I think about him and I think, how in the world did he hold all this in him? How in the world did he hold all this greatness? How did he hold all this vastness and all these laws and all these things that the universe operates by? How did he hold all these things within himself? Notice Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 6. He stood, measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. Isaiah 48:13, mine hand also has laid the foundation of the earth. My right hand has spanned the heavens. Lord have mercy. My right hand spanned it. Just like that. Pew. Span the heavens when I call unto them. They stand up together. That's my daddy. Whoa. Woo, that's my daddy. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 10. Now watch Paul under the same inspiration. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of thine hands. The heavens, not one. The heavens. So the genesis of heaven and earth is the genesis of man. So from the book of Genesis, we find God projecting this great love story. Manner, God brought it into existence by creative word. Now remember, we was talking about the power of thought on Sunday. Look how our Father, from his own world of thought, projected into time and into matter and into science. Now there is a God-created science, we know that. And he brought all these things into existence from a world that was invisible, impenetrable by the mind of man, almost incomprehensible. But yet from that eternal, he must condescend in order to make himself known. So he creates himself in a way to reveal himself in order to do it by the word, which is the Logos.
as the eternal, he could not do it. So he comes forth in the form of the Logos, which is his word, which he will create all things by the word. Now, what's this? Brother Branham says, my daughter back there, Rebecca, was saying, Daddy, in school we proved that there are millions and millions of years this world is old. Then isn't that contrary to the Bible? Contradictory to the Bible? No, sir, I said, it isn't. Well, I said, if the different studies of rocks and formations and stalactites and stalagmites and so forth prove the driftings of millions of years, and God said he made the heavens and the earth in 124 hours, doesn't that misprove or disprove the Bible? I said, no. If you'll notice, God telling Moses about, in the Bible, he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. How long it took? That's none of our business. Then he goes ahead and begins to bring in his time of putting the seed in the earth. But in the beginning might have been hundreds of billions of trillions of years. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. Now in that, it could have been millions of years before we ever moved to verse 2. And he's not worried, nor is he nervous. But if he spoke verse 1 and it happened, he speaks verse 2, it'll happen, verse 3, verse 4, on and on and on. Now watch this. So God, when he does this, he takes all these laws and he places him in the original creation, in the original way that they were, in verse 1. Now, when you look at verse 2, they're different than verse 1, actually. Watch this. Let's say that, go on again. A man was talking to Brother Branham about the age of the earth. And he said, well, if the world said you can see the mountains and how they pushed up from the volcanic, and they said, God made the world in 6 days. And I said, now, the Bible didn't say that. You just thought it said it. I said, let's go back now to settle your argument. The first chapter of Genesis said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. How long he was doing it, I don't know. He didn't tell us. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. Then the world was without form. That's when God started to use it. So here then, God makes the universe, he makes the planets, he makes the stars, all the laws that will relate them pre-fall, after fall. And then when God wants to use the earth after something has happened to it, then verse 2 is when it enters into the element of time in the 6 dispensational periods called days that God will create. In those 6 what we call days, which is 1,000-year increments, God will begin to unfold a further part of his character in creating. Now, if you'll follow those 6 days, you'll follow in that revelation, the order of that, contains the mystery of God down through the future ages that are to come. The millennium's in there, the church ages is in there, the way he'll deal with you in the New Testament, it unfolds the creation of God. Why not make the monkeys first? Why not make this first? He makes it exactly in the right order so it would relate his future plan for humanity and for the earth itself. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us tonight, Father. My, notice in countdown, God made the world, it might have been 100 trillion years. Making it. I don't know how long it was. But he made it. Didn't say how long it was. And it's none of our business how long it was. He just said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Period. That settles it. Does it settle it for you all? That's all of it. How long he was doing it. What the creation began to spring up. Now in the other time, the creation began to spring up in the other time. Chapter, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7 is another time than verse 1. Glory! It's another dispensation. It moves from verse 1 to verse 2. And now it is another time. Don't you see there's a part of you that is from another time? Watch this now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now the condition in which we find the earth in verse 2 is not the original created condition. It's okay for you to listen. Be quiet. I know you don't know where I'm going. You don't see the scriptures I got in front of me. And you'll smile when you hear them. The original earth had passed through some type of great upheaval. Some type of cataclysmic change that would have brought it and left it in this state. Was it when Satan was thrown from heaven? Who knows? Was it when something had happened on the earth that brought the earth to this type of judgment? There had to be something happen. Now you think of the thousands and thousands of fossil beds that they find in the geological studies and archaeological studies that man has found different parts of the earth. Now, personally, I used to believe and think that these fossils were made during the time of the flood. But then when you go to really reading and looking in the book of Genesis and asking yourself one simple question, why aren't there millions of fossils of human beings in the same places? Unless, of course, there were no human beings on the earth when these fossils were made. Now, when we look at this earth in the condition that she's in verse 2, it relates something about its status which does not relate the perfect character of God. You know, when God makes something, and certainly He makes it in progression, we know that. And God can start out with the lower forms of life and keep coming higher and higher and higher. But when we see the earth in this type of condition, it is something, it is a trait, a characteristic, not of creation, but of judgment, of something that has happened and left the earth in this void type of a condition. So between the first and the second verses of Genesis here, something must have happened. No need to try to surmise because we don't know what it was, no way. But yet this holds the key of how that the geological studies and archaeological studies can be able to claim, because in the rocks hold the stories. And I've got a little rock about this big that I picked up out of New Mexico a few years ago. And I was looking at it last night. And in that rock, it looks like molten rock. It's almost like little noodles. You know, about as big around as my finger. But yet it's solid rock. And it was like He was just pouring it like you would cake icing. And them little noodles, some of them all blended together and made the one rock. Others of them just kind of stand out on top, and there's a little shell in there and a little, you know, some type of little animal and some type of little this and that and the other. Now you realize that is recorded in the earth's history. So it's, oh glory, it's written in her. So she, amen, amen. So she bears in her geological makeup the scars of her past. Lord Jesus, in her past is signs of this devastation and signs of this time on the earth that it must have been absolutely terrible. No wonder she needs a change. Glory to God. Amen. Her scars must be permanently removed. There'll be no archaeological signs left in the new earth of fossils of millions of years old. So you imagine the paleontologists and all those people who find all these bones and all that. You think, why don't they find 300,000 or 400,000 human beings in this same pile out there in Utah? Or over in China or wherever more. I heard Gray. They found all these animals. Why not humans? If they were running for the highest place, if they were trying to get away, where was the human beings? Where is the masses of thousands and millions of bodies during the time of the flood? Well, there's one thing about it. I've got you thinking if I ain't got nothing else. So between the first and the second verse, something happens that brings the earth into this condition. Now, when God goes to using her, he wants to reflect this in his own time. You know, he's in no rush. He's in no hurry. So he wants to unfold something here. Isaiah says it this way. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He hath created it. Not in vain. That word is not really the correct reflection of the Hebrew word, vain. Look at the meaning of it. Formlessness, confusion, unreality, emptiness, formlessness of primeval earth. So Isaiah says God did not create the earth in this primeval condition. Now what's amazing is, look in Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form, which is exactly the same Hebrew word, to who? To who? Formlessness, confusion, emptiness, formlessness of primeval earth. So God says in Isaiah, I did not create the earth void. But yet in verse 2, it's void. Glory to God. So it was not created in this state. It was brought to this state after it was created. Lord Jesus, so the earth had some sort of fall between verse 1 and verse 2. And it was brought to a state that God had not created it to or for. Don't you understand? You were not made to live for the devil. You were not made to get sick. You were not made to die, have old age. But something happened to us between verse 1 and verse 2. So God could look at us today and say it's without form, it's void, darkness covers the face of the deep, and it's this and that and the other, but that's not the way we were made. We were not made for that. Neither was the earth when God begins to direct his creation toward it. God says, I never made it this way. Don't tack that onto me. Notice Isaiah says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. And hath established it. And he created it not in formlessness or void. But he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. What a place to say that. After he talks about what he made the earth for. I made it to be lived in. I made it to be enjoyed. Don't you understand? He's saying the same thing about you. You wasn't made to smoke cigarettes. You wasn't made to drink alcohol. Sisters, you was not made to give your body over to the devil. You was made to be inhabited. I am the Lord, he says. So in verse 2, we see Father, after whatever's happened in this span of millions of years, tens of thousands of years, then we see Father move toward the unfolding of his attribute of love. Now, whatever happened to the earth between verse 1 and verse 2 was certainly not an attribute of the expression of the eternal. It would not have been an expression of love because he said, I cannot create something like this. It's not me. I cannot do it. So it was brought to this state by some other type of upheaval, something that happened. Then God wants to begin to move this earth, move upon it and use it. So he finds it out here in the middle of the universe, in this little cul-de-sac of where we live at. He finds her in this certain spot where she'd been 10 degrees this way, it'd been too cold. 10 degrees that way toward the sun, it'd been too hot. So he places her here in this pattern in the solar system. And even though the chaos brought this upon her face, it could not change her path. Glory. So her past remains. You get sick, you get up, you get down, you get weary. But even the devil can't change your past. Brother, sister, you're ordained to a certain path. You're ordained, amen. Oh, glory to God. You might get me down. You might get me weary. But my path is on a gravitational pull by the sun. So when this time arrives, God began to order into this chaos His Word. God will use two elements by which to bring this chaos into a divine order. That will be the Logos and the Spirit. Ruach Elohim. He will speak that word, and the word will unleash the power of God. He will move over the face of the deep, and the Spirit will begin to change the atmosphere. And the Word and the Spirit will begin to work together. Now here's where theologians get mixed up, because they go to taking the word Elohim, and actually the word Elohim is plural. So they look at that word Elohim and they make three people out of it. But it ain't three people, it's three attributes of the same person. So here is Him doing the speaking. And out of Him comes the Logos. Glory to God. Out of Him comes the Spirit of God to do this other, which is just another one of His attributes, not another person. Now watch John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Him who? The Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So now the Logos, remember, this is not Rhema now. This is Logos. Logos. Ephesians 3:9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which hath from the beginning of the world been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. So this would of course be the first creation and the second creation, the new birth. So God has created all things by Jesus Christ. So you can only come to God by the new birth, by the creation, Jesus Christ, the Word. Now watch, and God is going to move now toward the earth and bring to the earth the further part of these attributes. But she's in such chaos. She's without form. She's void. It's confusion. It's darkness. But it just so happened there was some seeds laying on the earth from a former civilization. Colossians 1:16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Hebrews 1:2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. Now notice, God's instrument of creation is a person. The person of God unfolding in this Logos. Him, not an it. Now, no matter how much you love your Bible and how much you read it, it is not a Him in the sense of having eyes and ears and nose that don't have a personality. It is an it. But this original Word was Jesus Christ, the person of God, unfold in the second form. You understand what I'm saying? His lower form of creation in a tangible sense. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Notice this. Who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the rhema of His power. Okay, so you use Logos, 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 Logos. It works great for sowing seeds. But when you need the word of your power, you need rhema. Hallelujah. when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. What in the world has that got to do with making all things, making the heavens, making the visible, the invisible, the express image of his person? And then Paul goes and says, when he had purged by himself, purged our sins, what have I got to do with all the other everything? Notice Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So two agents God started to use in the ruined original creation. His word and his spirit. Can I go a little bit farther? Y'all okay? All right. So there's three stages then of the earth that we want to look at. 2 Peter 3:5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was, that then was, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now notice, Peter actually in writing of the new earth and the new heavens, for whatever reason, God actually gives him a more fluent, a greater understanding than what he does John on the Isle of Patmos. It's unusual, isn't it? Him being an apostle and John being a prophet. But yet Brother Raymond said that Peter actually explained it greater than what John did, which is quite a phenomenal thing, since Peter was an ignorant, unlearned man, couldn't even hardly sign his own name. I don't know where this boy went to school, but he sure learned how to read and write, didn't he? Isn't that wonderful what God can do to an ignorant man? Now what? So Peter sets forth the stages of the earth. It's amazing because he's the only one in the entire canon of scripture that actually relates it this way. For this they are willingly ignorant that the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now watch this in future home. Here the apostle in the second verse, in the second chapter, in the fifth and sixth verse, yes, I've got it, he refers to three stages of the earth. You see, he gets to three stages of it. Now notice when he brings them. The old world that stood out of the water. Now that was the antediluvian world. The old world that stood out of the water, Genesis 1:1. Now wait a minute. Genesis 1:1. Noah wasn't there. But the stage of the earth that stood out of the water was Genesis 1:1. Now in the world that is now present, then again it refers to another one, the world that is to come, the new world. Three worlds, three stages of the world. So the earth moves in cycles as we do. So now here God, as he expressed the original creation in Christ Jesus, the Logos, the earth was in its original form, perfect, sinless, with form, complete, and not void. There was no nothingness around. There was no emptiness around. For God said, I cannot create it this way. I made it to be lived in. So was it a former civilization? Was it Satan and his demons? Who knows? I have no idea. I'm not going to surmise and go on and say. But there was something that happened, but in there is the mystery of you as well. Lord, children, may God help us to see it. If you can see this tonight, your security is it just as eternal as God himself is. If you're really in Christ Jesus. Now notice the three stages of the world. Now, watch this again. We'll read this again to Peter. For this they are willing, ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens which were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, which signifies it's not the same one that Peter was living on then, thousands of years later, being overflowed with water, perished. Destroy. To destroy. To put out of the way entirely. Abolish. Put to an end, to ruin, render useless. The flood never done that. The flood did not leave this earth useless, void, and without form. All the earth needed after the flood was a little bit of sun and a little bit of wind. And the sun started shining and the wind started blowing, and there you go. Here she's a growing. Why? Because it was not rendered in this state. So here Peter is actually catching a glimpse of the earth when she had fallen from her original estate. Lord Jesus. Notice Brother Branham said, oh my. Peter speaks of the original. Now you know that Brother Branham, in reading this, and he talks about this, and he got this. He said, when I got once I said it on that Greek word, I thought, how is this earth going to pass away and we're going to live on it? How in the world is it going to happen? This is where I got the idea, he said. I got to look at that word, pass away. Now, I hope this don't offend you. If it does, can't help it. If you'll read the book, Dispensational Truths, by Clarence Larkin, printed in 1919, you'll find word for word what I'm fixing to read to you from Future Home. Well, some of you's done got mad. Friends, don't you understand? Brother Branham was sent to gather the truths. So Peter speaks of the earth in the original form, the world that was, then being overflowed with water, perished. So it's clear that Peter is not referring to the flood, because this word is used nowhere in reference to the flood. So whatever happened that overflowed, it actually rendered and left the earth in a state that it would look like was beyond redemption. I mean, it'd be sort of like a mortal that was born in a certain family. There's a bunch of crackheads or a bunch of drug addicts or dope fiends or whatever more, you know, and you follow that same way with all the rest of your family. You're void and darkness covered the face of your deep. Oh, glory to God. And you look like there's absolutely no hope for you. And the Spirit of God moved upon you. And them seeds that was laying there from some other civilization begin to spread forth. So in these verses, Peter reveals the future of the earth. That the earth in its surface passed from one stage to another to another. Not the soul now of the earth. Not that it will be annihilated. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. During these geological ages, the Jurassic time and all these different times that man look at it and see all these dinosaurs in the ice age and all this and that and the other. They're probably more right on some of them things than they are wrong. They just don't understand like me and you do. There's millions of years between verse 1 and verse 2. Oh, you say that's crazy, is it? Look at Isaiah chapter 61. Look, whenever Jesus' first coming was going to be, and right in the middle of that verse, coming on down the next verse, right in the middle of that, he stops in. There's 2,000 years in between the fulfillment of them two verses. No way in the world you'd ever be able to comprehend that without a prophetic understanding. Because people look at it, you're not reading the newspaper. 1, 2, 3, 4. There can be millions of years from verse 1 to verse 2. There can be untold of acts that have taken place between verse 1 and verse 2. Why? It is a love story. It is a revelation that he desires to make himself known. He's not giving a word by word, act by act, statement by statement account. The book of Genesis is not a word by word, thought by thought, move by move account of all that he did. Now, once the Spirit of God purposes within himself to move upon this void, shapeless, formless, chaotic earth, she's totally immersed in water, void of life, void of light. Did you ever notice in Genesis, when the Spirit of God began to speak and the Logos thundered out these words, let there be light. It was not actually the creation of the sun. He was not creating the sun. He just said, let there be light. He didn't say, let there be a sun, but let there be light. Why? The chaos on the earth had so darkened that the atmosphere was so deep and the things were so thick upon the earth. The sun was there. But whatever had happened, the fall, glory, the fall between verse 1 and verse 2 had left in this darkened chaos. And even though the seed was in it, the seed couldn't grow until the voice of God said, let there be light. So God chose six periods of creation time by which he would begin to unveil, called 6 days. But it was 1,000-year increments by which he would begin to unveil and be able to let the further part of his creation become known. Now he uses the word create in part of the book of Genesis, and then he uses the word make in other parts, which is not exactly the same thing. Now, God did not create light on the first day. He simply said, let there be, or turn on the light. Woo! Oh, glory. Why? There was a man there who could turn on the light. Nay, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. God didn't say, let there be a sun, let there be, but he simply said, turn on the light. Lord Jesus. So the earth comes up out of this geological, bruised, battered, scarred state. She had these fossils buried within her, which would tell her story. I stood in South Africa several years ago in a coal mine. And then Carol went down in there, abandoned coal mine where they take tours and things down. Here we are, several hundreds of feet beneath the surface of the earth. And they bring you down to this certain spot, and then they tell you to look up. And right there embedded in the rock is a dinosaur's track. Up like this. You know, gigantic in size. Formed in the rock. He must have been running or laying on his back or who knows what he's doing. But you know what? No man's tracks. No little boys, no little girls. Why? This is before God brought them into existence on the earth. Now that story is not written in her geology. You understand? Yet so when she comes out of this state now and God starts dealing with her in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, she still bears within her many scars of her pre-existence. So she comes out and it said like this, if she shot dope in her arms, she may carry them needle tracks for a long time. If you used to dance to old rock and roll and you know, you done crack or mess or whatever you done and it damaged your body, don't think you're going to get a new body just when you become a Christian. Come on now. You may have smoked them cigarettes and caused emphysema in your body and all kinds of damage that way. You drunk till you got cirrhosis of the liver. It don't mean every one of you is going to get a new liver when you get born again. So that may bear the marks, oh Lord of mercy, the marks or the image in the geological records, if I could say it that way, of your mortality. And you may long bear the scars of the memories of your sin and of your past. But let me tell you tonight, you are on your journey. You are on your way to the final stage when all the geological records will be destroyed. There'll be no more fossils, no more memories. Lord Jesus. Look at this in the fourth seal in Genesis 1:1. It said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Period. That's all. Now, the world without form and void. And I said, I believe every seed was laying right there from some other civilization or something. As soon as that water lifted off and the light struck it, up come the trees and everything. Watch this. The same thing with the human being. It's a type. Oh my. The same thing with a human being. It's a type. When all the mist is moved away and the revealed truth to that real seed laying there still germatized. How many years did it lay upon this earth in its chaotic condition? Millions and millions of years may be laying there in the earth, the waters, tumult, turning around over and over and over again. That wouldn't destroy life. All God had to do was let that Logos loose and spoke and say, turn on the light. And the mist began to roll away. Oh, Lord Jesus. And the revealed truth to that real seed laying there germatized in the light of the gospel can strike it by a true vindication of the word. It'll live. It's got life in it. Outside of that, it can't live. It hasn't gotten no life. Can't you see why the earth is longing for a change? How many more fossil beds are all over her? As long as she contains them, her past is written in her life. It speaks of another day when she was confined in a world of darkness. Them dinosaurs laying in her bowels hundreds of feet deep. All types of ferns and all the things that's laying there. Only God knows how many's buried there. But as long as they're buried there, can't you see why He cannot set this new city down on them scars? That's why He's got to go hundreds of feet deep till the last fossil will be eradicated. Lord Jesus. I'll make all things new. Then whenever dinosaurs gone, every one of them other things is gone, you know, all of them, all the memories, all the past, every track, every bit of it is gone of that former state of the fall. Then John said, I saw that new city. Why the earth has now been removed as one day you will be. No matter how much we hear of His word and how much we love Him. You can still remember things that's in your past. Things you done wrong. Things you said wrong. But don't worry. He'll take care of them dinosaurs. You children that love God, you know how things come back to you? My, I've told you about a crazy dream. I've had that crazy dream for years. Same dream over and over again. I dream I'm smoking. I ain't never smoked in my life. I dream I'm smoking and I wake up scared to death. Broke out in a cold sweat. Oh, it's because it's in your heart. It ain't either. It's because Satan still has access to my subconscious. That's the very explanation of it. I see what smoking does to people. I sure don't want to start it. That's something I ain't even done. And it torments me. I can't imagine some of the things that y'all have done and got forgiven for. But yet the scars are still in your geological ages. And something will happen. It'll trigger it. You're planting a new road. Oh, glory to God. I'm moving on with God. I'm going on with God. And you go to excavating for a new road in your life. And what do you find? The gray side out here. That's what they were doing. They were going to widen the road and make it nicer for you folks that live out that direction. To make it easier for you to move in. When they did, they found out all these bones. Was hid in the earth. Been there for millions of years. But one day holy fire from God out of heaven will fall upon this earth and she will be entirely engulfed in this holy fire from God. and it will go hundreds of feet, thousands, however deep that it needs to be to totally erase every geological scar that was left there by her fall. And from there out, he will begin to recreate. Can't you see why we so long for a body change, friends? Where there'll be no more memories. You can still remember being a sinner. He can't. He cannot remember you being a sinner at all. It's like you never was in his mind. Why? He has no geological scars. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You appreciate his grace. Oh, my. Brother Louis had to leave the service tonight because he was sick. Let's pray for him. God, help him. How many of you got needs in your life, your body tonight? Listen, friends. Some of you may be here tonight. Them scars may not be. You may not have to have a big old earth mover to find yours. All you need is a little old shovel. A kid might get out there in your backyard and go to digging around in your past. It don't take much to uncover things you're so ashamed of. Some of you may have to dig way deep and way, way back. Others of you, it's just right there on the top of your ground. And it's like you live underneath that all your life. But remember, there's a new geological age coming. You got to accept his word that his blood has already released you from that as far as he's concerned. But you're still bearing them fossils in your body. I've always been mesmerized by those fossils. I've got several at my house. And, you know, I've told you before about different ones. I've always just, you think, if they could talk, what they could tell you. I've been in the Grand Canyon and different places and looked at them in the earth. Little did I realize when I was looking at those things, I was reading my own life story. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this service tonight. I hope I was able to make sense of it, Lord. Lord Jesus, what great things you have done. Lord, I pray as we stand here tonight and bear in our image of the earth these scars, these fossils of the past. It's like they are frozen in time and the sediment of the earth locked them in. Even with mammoths and things, Lord, that they just found a few years ago, a great big mastodon and all that that they'd found. Still had leaves in its mouth, frozen in time. Lord, that's the way our old memory is sometimes. Of things that we've done, we believe you forgive us. But because that old fossil is still in our life, the devil can still point back to a pretty hard evidence. And he'll try to aggravate us and torment us with it. But Lord Jesus, may we know one day you'll give us a new body. There'll be no memory of those past. Lord, you see, Brother Louis had to leave tonight, Lord, because of sick. That ain't nothing but the devil. Lord, just to try to hinder him out of the service. Others raised their hands if they were sick or had needs in their lives or in their bodies. I pray for them tonight, Father. Those that will hear this service. Lord, I'm sure probably most of us, our deepest cry is to be what you want us to be. Lord, as we find ourselves when you started dealing with us in verse 2, without form and void and darkness covered our souls. But the Spirit of God said, let there be light. And there was light. Thank you, Lord. Many of these fossils have been laying buried for millions of years. Adam might have walked right over some of them. Abraham, the American Indian, walked right over many of these here where we live. Nobody even knew they were there. Nobody knew they even existed. I find it so amazing that they're finding more and more here in the last days. No doubt it's more of your story that's being untold. And as we come into greater view of the Word, it's like it magnifies our shortcomings and our failures. But Lord, may we look at this earth and see that she holds the history of her past. But the Word holds the history of her future. Glory to God. Our memory
may stain us and it may mark our past. But we're looking to our future to be the promises of your word. When you will release us, Lord. When we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Glory to God. When the change will come over us. And all the fossils will be eradicated. Hallelujah. There'll be not one remnant of that old existent world when we get our body changed. Thank you, Lord. We love you tonight, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Can we just raise our hands in His presence before we go? Oh, my. My Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus. I love you tonight, Lord. I thank you when I'd had that cataclysmic change, when I'd come from an attribute of God down to the corridors of time, and I took that first breath of life. I was in chaos. But one day the light would break forth. It would be years and years, no doubt, as it was in the beginning when you said, let there be light. The prophet said it might have been hundreds of thousands of years before it ever happened. And it might have unleashed gradually. That way back across the western or the eastern horizon, a little bit of streak of light just started piercing through the depths of the darkness and the blackness. A little bit of light, then a little more light, it began to dissipate. Because really, Lord, what we see in verse 2, what we see in verse 2 is the beginning of war. When light is dispelling the darkness. So may we not marvel when the new creation is taking place in us, that it is the sound of war. Credit, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Harry, sing something for us. Let's just worship just a little bit before we go. We got a baptism here that we want to do before we go, and we'll ask them to come while we're just singing a little bit. I know you kids have got school, and I know you got to work and all that sort of thing, but you know what? I believe God can give you a little extra rest tonight. I believe He can give you kids a little extra. We'll ask them if they'll come prepare for the baptism, Brother John. Let's just sing a little bit and worship Him before we go. Think of your life, friend. Think of your story. It's written in the ages. It's not just written in the pages of the Bible. It's written in the layers of rock. It's written in sediment. It's written in the fossils of time. Hallelujah. Glory. The earth one day will join in with us and sing this song. You set me free. You set me free, Lord. Oh, yes.
So I'll shake off these heavy chains.
Lay these dinosaur fossils away. Brother!
I'm not who I
used to be.
I am redeemed.
Lord! Oh, yes, Lord.
You set me free.
Let's worship Him, saints. God.
So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain.
Every stain.
I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Thank you, Lord.
Set me free.
Oh, hallelujah.
struggle.
Think about it now.
My ghost,
them old dinosaurs that lived in my past. Hallelujah!
Bound up with shackles of all my failures.
My failures, Lord.
Lord, wandering along. Is this gonna end?
Oh, but thank you, Jesus.
Then you look at this prisoner.
Hallelujah!
And say to me, son, stop fighting.
Stop fighting.
Fight. That's already been
Brother Christopher Pierce here tonight. He's ready to baptize his earth and start on that journey to get ready for that rebirth. So let's just pray with our brother. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you're still calling your children to the water, Father God, and you're still moving, Lord Jesus, on the earth, Father. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you've stirred on a tender heart, Father God, to grow closer to you, Father. It seems like the world is so dark, Lord, and it seems like, Lord Jesus, there's so much darkness and fear and sin out there, Lord Jesus. But Lord, we're standing in this water saying there still is light. There's still mercy. There's still grace, Father God. You're still moving in a mighty way, Father. We're so thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful for my brother's life, Lord Jesus. Lord, I talked to him last night, Lord. He said he's thoroughly repented, Father God. And Lord Jesus, your word said that if we repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, that you would give us the gift of the Holy Ghost, Father God. Lord, those aren't my words, Father. That's your word, Father. So as we come to this water, Father God, we come fully expecting, Father God, if he's done his part and thoroughly repented, Father God, and he's come to the water to fulfill that part of your word, Father, then you're going to fulfill your part, Lord Jesus, and fill him with the Holy Ghost right now, Lord Jesus. We believe with all our hearts you're more than able, Father God. We believe you, Lord Jesus, and we're here to testify of the truth, Lord Jesus, and what you mean, and you're still living in this last day and in your bride, Father. We pray that you'd come down, Lord, and bless my brother, Lord. Continue to walk with him, Father. May he grow in you, Lord Jesus. May the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, just blossom and bloom in his life, Father. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Chris, by the confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'd like for the earth to join in with us tonight as we sing this closing song. Oh, we shall be changed. Oh, we shall be changed. Oh, changed from this mortal to immortality in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, we shall be changed. Oh, we shall be changed. Oh, changed from this mortal to immortality. Oh, in the twinkling of an eye. Change from this mortal to immortality. Oh, in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, all my dinosaurs will be gone. Hey! All my scars will be gone. I'll be changed in a moment. Oh, I'm going to be changed from this mortal to immortality. Oh, in the twinkling eye. Come on, the earth, sing it to us. Well, I'm going to be changed. Oh, I'm going to be changed. The fire of God will fall and burn my clothes off. Oh, in the twinkling eye. Oh, glory to Jesus. Reality in the twinkling. Oh, I said we shall be changed. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. We're gonna be changed. Change from this mortal.
Oh, I said the bride, she's gonna be changed. Yes, the bride, she's gonna be changed. Amen. Oh, change from this mortal to immortality. Well, in a twinkling of.
Thank you.